Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible. Thank you.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Thanks for tuning in, and a very happy Saturday to you. Hope you're having a great weekend so far. Okay, here's a question for you. Do you think of yourself as a creative person? Well, you know, some are more creative than others, but the fact of the matter is that we are creative because we are created in the image of God, and He is the creator. In fact, if we started to lean in and really think about this idea and started to ask God, work creatively in and through me, God. Give me creative solutions to the problems I face. Imagine what would happen. In fact, my guest today is Ken Weitzma, and he joins us to help us understand how we can embrace change, how we can ignite creativity, and break through with imagination as we unpack his book, Create versus Copy. We'll get him on in just a moment. Just have a few quick announcements. First of all, I'm so excited about, you're going to be hearing a lot more about this in the very near future, but we are hosting our first ever, hopefully it'll be an annual, epic, amazing Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. So if you or someone you know has a dream to be a published author, maybe you want to write books, maybe you want to write articles, I'm telling you, this is going to be the day for you. It's Saturday, July 15th. I'm telling you now because registrations are officially open, and the first 350 participants who register will have your choice of the faculty that to meet a face-to-face one-on-one appointment. So if you really do your homework, if you really want to get ready and make the most of this conference, think about now. Go look at the website. It's NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com and look at the faculty. Look who'll be there. If you want to start writing articles, well, guess what? Jesse Floria from Focus on the Family will be there. That's how I got my start. I met with Jesse at a writer's conference, pitched an article idea, and I freelanced for Focus on the Family after that for 7 years. Maybe that's your avenue. Or maybe you desire to write fiction, historical fiction, or nonfiction, like Bible study types of books. We're going to have agents, editors, and experts in the field. We've got an A-list faculty planned. I am telling you what, I am thrilled about this conference. If you're interested, or you know somebody who would be, let them know about it now, because I really believe we're going to fill up on these conference attendees. We're going to fill up with registrants who want that one-on-one appointment. I don't want you to miss out. Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. .com. Don't forget, okay? Also, a special welcome to those tuning in one of our new signals. You can now hear Faith Radio on 94.1 in West Hartford, Connecticut. That's an FM signal. And 1290 AM in Hartford, 90.7 FM in the Twin Cities, 104.7 FM in Madison, 93.1 FM in Waterloo, and, of course, streaming online. So many ways to tune into Faith Radio. No matter how you got here, we're grateful to have you listening today. And also, if you've not checked out our app, you should do that as well, because you can take us with you wherever you travel, and you can live stream your favorite show. You can get your podcast after the fact. We're trying to set you up so you can be equipped no matter what you're doing, no matter where you go. We're so glad to encourage you along in your faith journey. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Ken Weitzman is the founder of the Justice Conference, an annual international conference that introduces people to a wide range of organizations and conversations related to biblical justice. In addition to serving as the founding pastor of Antioch Church, he's also president of Kilns College, where he teaches courses on philosophy, justice, and creative leadership. He lives in Bend, Oregon with his wife Tamara and their four daughters. You can find his resources up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dear Ken, nice to meet you and welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Looking forward to it. So we like to start out our conversations, Ken, talking scripture, wondering if you either have a life verse or just a verse you've been pondering these days that you can share with us.
Well, my life verse is kind of what I always seem to come back to, and it's just a chunk of three verses in John 15. So John 15, 9 through 11, remain in my love as I remain in my Father's love. You do this by obeying my commands, and I tell you this so that my joy may be in you and so that your joy may be complete. And I just love how that brings it all around full circle, our relationship with God, what it looks like to live out a life of faith, and that ultimately that life of faith and obedience is really where we're going to find our greatest joy.
Indeed, indeed. So, Ken, I would love a little backstory, not only on your faith journey, how you came to Christ, but when this whole idea of create and innovation came to life for you as a Christ follower.
Yeah, sure. I was probably a little bit more artistic growing up, but my father is very practical. He sent me off to engineering school. But I became a Christian at age 22. So really for me, everything turned and pivoted at age 22, went a different direction in life, really trying to surrender to what it meant to do ministry, to try and think through practical theology, to learn about the things of God, the ways of God, and to communicate that to people. And so creativity has always been a part of it. It's the church we founded in Bend, Oregon. Bend, Oregon was ranked recently as the next big city in entrepreneurship. It's a very creative city. And we have a lot of creative people, and that's where a lot of the energy for starting the Justice Conference and other things came from, is just a lot of people coming together with a vision and excited to kind of serve it, and some amazing things happened. But more specifically, this particular book was really a way of naming something. Fear is another way of saying lack of faith, and on the other end of lack of faith where you have faith, I think creativity is another way of naming that. And so, you know, fear or anxiety causes you to hole up, hold on to things, back into a corner, be scared. Creativity is a very open-handed posture, like faith, very open-handed posture, very hopeful, dreams and the possibility, is willing to trust and move forward and navigate things. And so it really was a way of exploring how do we live by faith in kind of modern society where everything's changing so fast. And creativity is definitely one of those ways, one of those ways of describing it.
Mm. When you even say in the book that there are two kinds of people, there's creators and there's copiers. Talk more about that.
That was something, you know, I'm enamored with leadership. I'm a leader. And I think most people are leaders. The old adage, you know, are leaders born or made? I think it's both. They're born and made, but everyone with influence has some kind of leadership over someone, your children, your classroom at school, the people that you're writing Sunday school curriculum for, whatever. And so I really think a lot about leadership. And the interesting thing about leadership is that if you're copying, by necessity, you're always going to be following. So if you're going where someone else has blazed the trail, if you're going where someone else has been, you're going to necessarily be following. And so if you really want to be on the cutting edge of leadership, on the front edge, what's changing, what's evolving, what's working, then you really need to have a creativity mindset. And so I really stretched that for this book and said, you know, this is more than just a leadership principle. It's a life principle that with the power of the Holy Spirit in us, with the image of God in us, that we really should have a creativity possibility mindset and not just be stuck with kind of blinders on trying to replicate everything or copy everything.
Well, if creating were easy, I think everybody would do it because it requires you to dig deep. I think it requires some stillness, some thoughtfulness, kind of stepping away from the rat race. You know, you talked about the appeal of being a copier being, you know, maybe more tangible, quicker results. I want you to talk about maybe the implications and some of the appeals to the copier, why they would maybe take that shortcut versus step back and see what God wants to create through them.
Yeah, and I think maybe, and I'm sure we'll be able to get to all this in the conversation, but I think maybe it begins a little sooner, and that's with imagination. You know, yes, you have to sit down and discipline yourself to be creative or to be innovative. It doesn't just happen, and it feels, in some sense, like a lot of pressure. Like I've got this new job. How do I be innovative? You know, and it's kind of like doing art with a gun to your head. You know, meaning under duress, right? And I think it's really about whether we embrace our God-given imagination at the front end, and when we live imaginatively, when we dream, when we believe, when we trust, when we pray, when we listen to God and when we seek that guidance, there's just a lot more going on in the world that we begin to kind of be aware of or apprehend. And I think that leads more naturally into creativity. And I think when we see only our fears, when you're afraid of something, when I'm afraid of something, we know exactly what that thing is, which means our eyes are on one thing, not all the possibilities, not what could be. We're locked into the thing we're afraid of. So it really collapses imagination. And then our imagination runs wild with what that one thing could do that would hurt us and what that would feel like. But I think that's why in the book I try to talk so much about imagination, C.S. Lewis and Tolkien, and just this rich tradition of kind of a Christian imagination, because that's really where we end up being led to creativity.
We're going to pause here. We've got a little bit of a funky connection with Ken. We're going to try to reconnect and see if we can get a clearer audio sound from him. When we come back, we're going to talk about in the midst of troubled times, well, that's perfect soil for innovation, for creativity, for new possibilities. God is a creator, and he's always creating. We've got 5 copies of Create versus Copy. If you've got a question, we're going to open the phone lines just a couple of times. Here's the number, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Have you paused lately to think about how amazingly creative God is? I mean, one of the times that I'm so overtaken by his creativity is when I'm on my bike and I'm sprinting on these trails that go through the woods, that weave through the woods, and you pass all these scents one after the other, and they just blend with each other. I mean, it's like this beautiful array, and the different shades of green and different flowers. It's absolutely amazing. Just look at the sky, hour to hour, day to day. He paints a new beautiful picture. This is the creator. This is God who sets the stars in place, and they're different from each other. And he creates through us. This is matters because in a day when troubles are everywhere, storms are brewing, as my guest said before the break, if we focus on the thing of our fear, the thing we're most afraid of, we're locked onto that. We can't see possibilities. We can't engage our faith. But as Christ followers with the Spirit of the living God alive in us, isn't this a time to step back to say that might be true? But truer still, as I serve the Creator, Lord, create through me, problem solve through me. What new thing do you want to do in and through me? He's always doing a new thing. Well, I'm talking to Ken Weitzma. Title of his book is Create versus Copy. Subtitle, Embrace Change, Ignite Creativity, Breakthrough with Imagination. Got a few copies to get into your hands. If you get on the air today, you get a copy, 877-933-2484. Jen's checking in from Milltown, Wisconsin, I believe. Hey, Jen, how are you?
Hi there. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. What's your question today?
Thanks. I tend to be pretty visionary and like to set goals and be creative. However, I noticed that there's a lot of times backlash from or roadblocks from my spouse. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to know what some suggestions would be. I want to be respectful of my spouse, but how would you suggest working through that?
Good question.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm married to a creative as well, so I think uh-huh. I deal with it on this end a lot too. And also with children, it's a broad conversation with creativity in the home. The first thing is just to realize that everybody's creative. So usually what happens with a creative spouse or an artistic spouse and a non-artistic one is that they feel like one of them's creative and one of them's not. And so what I like to say is that artistic ability is a skill or a talent that some people possess, but creativity is a human trait. So Genesis 1:27, mm-hmm. God created us, male and female, he created us. In his image, he created us. And so God is a creative God. We're made in the image of God. We're creative too. So trying to put a right name to it, it's artistic ability with one person or a little bit more imaginative or carefree, if you will, sometimes. And the other person is creative as well. It just takes a different expression. So I think being able to embrace it together instead of coming at it from two sides is a really important part of that. And then mm-hmm. I think really beginning to talk about it and learning that someone that loves to dream needs to be able to do that. That's a part of verbally processing. It doesn't mean that they're going to act on everything. More practical-minded people, to say it is to do it. You know, to talk about a vacation is to put pressure on them to actually have to come up with the money to do it. And so I think it's really about learning each other's personality types and how we express that creativity And there's some great tools for that. I think one of the best ones is the Gallup organization's StrengthsFinder test, and just learning how we're wired. And when you can see the results from someone else, you begin to realize that thing that you trip on or that you deal with a lot, it's dominant because it's a strength. The reason it shows up in your marriage a lot is because it's a strength. And then instead of seeing it as a weakness, you can begin to encourage and embrace it as a strength.
Very good, Jen. You'll get a copy, and I think even reading it together will be a great treat for you. My hubby is a commercial construction project manager, and he takes the level out to hang pictures. I mean, he said his love language is symmetry. we joke a lot about that. But, you know, I remember at our old house, the one we lived before this one, he built a deck. It was multi-level with a flower pot in it and a little angled wall. It was a work of art. And I stood up in our bedroom looking down at that, and I'm like, you created a thing of beauty there. But because he's a level guy, that thing can withstand any storm because he's a foundational guy too. But that's such a good point, and that is a strength. His need to be measuring it, you know, he always says, you know, measure one, what is it? Measure twice, cut once. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But that is a strength for him, and God uses it through him. Every person has something like that in them where he uses their strength and then his beauty through them, doesn't he?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think at the most mundane levels, you know, we rarely delegate to somebody else to name our dog, right? Our creativity shows up in the smallest little things, and we don't normally think of that as creativity or artistry, but it really does. And so I think it's a beautiful thing to be able to embrace that in the culture of your own home, so that you can begin to say, what does it look like to have this aspect of God, the image of God, a creative God? What does it look like for that to be enough in our environment that it actually speaks to who we are?
Very cool. Mary Ann's checking in from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Hey, Mary Ann, you're on the air.
Hi. I just smiled when you tried to say that little quotation because my dad used to always remind us, measure twice, cut once.
Yeah, I guess I would really stress him out when I get it wrong all the time. Cut twice and measure later.
You can never cut it longer.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, my question is a kind of a situational question. I grew up in a parsonage, and so we have observed and experienced many adaptations and creative skills, and my parents were very, very flexible and creative. Now I am in a situation where I am living in a delightful little town where everybody else is related to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many, many ethnic habits and traditions. And I keep wanting to know the history of something, like, why did they ring the bell during the Lord's Prayer? And why, you know, how did these things get started? And it seems like every time I ask a question, it's interpreted as a criticism.
Hmm.
And it's a curiosity type thing. And how do I counter that? And when they say, we need some younger people to help us, but they don't want any younger people's ideas. They just want their time and their effort.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
and
a good...
I'm kind of in the middle. I'm way past 50, but I'm not nearly as old as some of these other people that are my same age.
Wow, that's a loaded... I want to let you speak to that, Ken, but there's so many angles to what Marianne is saying. But go ahead.
Well, I think it's a pretty common thing, finding yourself in an environment where you don't have the license or the freedom to be engaged or create. It's a kind of a strict culture or formal culture. But I would say a couple things. One, leaders set the culture. And so for people like yourself to be able to enter into conversation, to ask questions, to possibly even innovate, there has to be a culture that allows for that. The leaders have to make space for that. So I think starting not with the people that might not know where the traditions are, but the leaders themselves and to say, hey, would there be space for me to ask questions? Could I set up a time when myself and others could learn the history of this tradition and try and go right to the leadership in a way that's not so routine or feels like criticism, but actually is very constructive and creative for making time or making space to really engage or go deeper. The second thing is because we do respond to beauty, harmony, creativity, is preface every question with, this is beautiful. So I think it's beautiful how they ring the bell during the Lord's Prayer. Where did that come from? Or I think it's beautiful how we do this liturgy in this kind of a way. I'd love to know the tradition on it. But there's something about when we ask a question that it naturally comes across as critical, and it puts people on the defense. By bringing up a word of creativity, a creative word, like, this is beautiful, this is wonderful, I really enjoy this, it usually disarms people, and then they want to celebrate it. Oh, this came from here. Or I don't know where it came from, but I love it too. And I think at the end of the day, we have to realize that we're never closer to God than when we're being creative. This is what the Book of Psalms teach us, or Revelation, when everyone's around the throne of God crying, holy, 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 singing as a worship team. But from the Book of Psalms to the Book of Revelation, we see that in some ways the closest to God that we picture people is when they're participating or being creative. And so oftentimes a lot of the things that show up in churches, we're using arts or creativity or different human ingenuity to try and create environments where we could experience God. So I think casting it in a beautiful light and then studying the history would be one great way to go.
Mm. As you're talking, I'm thinking, we've got just about 2 minutes before our bottom of the hour break, but that Elizabeth Barrett Browning quote that said, that says, earth is crammed with heaven, every common bush afire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes, the rest just sit around and pluck blackberries. I think that's because, you know, there's an invitation to open our eyes and to become noticer. The fact that Marianne is curious enough, I think, shows that she cares about the culture and about the people. So many of us rush through life that we don't even bother to care. We might just make a surface assessment. But don't you think the creators are the ones who are going to be asking those deeper questions?
And I'm glad you brought that up. There's such an amazing, powerful connection between curiosity and creativity. And so, yes, the fact that someone's even paying attention and asking the questions, wants to know the answers, that curiosity, that human curiosity, is such an important part or facet of our God-given creativity.
Well, we're pausing here for a break, but when we come back, I want you to speak to this, Ken. You know, we're walking through these troubled times as a nation, and it's always, it seems, in these troubled times that we see what individuals are made of and what we're made for. And the question is, will you jump on the bandwagon, the groupthink bandwagon, and rant over trends that you maybe don't even understand? Or will you step back, think deeply, and become a problem solver? Can you say that leadership at its very core is undergoing a revolution? So we'll unpack that on the other side. We've got three more copies of Ken's book, Create versus Copy, Embrace Change, Ignite Creativity, Breakthrough with Imagination. What is God calling you to do today? When you look at the problems in the earth today, is there something God is calling you to do to be a problem solver, right? I want you to think about that. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise. You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Hope you're having a great day today. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Ken Weitzma today. Title of this new book, Create versus Copy, Embrace Change, Ignite Creativity, Breakthrough with Imagination. We've got three more copies left. If you have a question, you can check in, 877-933-2484. If you have a question about your own creativity, because we tend to think that there's the creative types, you know, the right and left brain types, and Ken makes a distinction between artistic versus creative, that God is the creator, and he's made us in our image, in his image, and he creates through us. But let's talk for a moment about how troubled times can really sometimes bring out the best and the worst of us. I remember reading an article, Ken, about the economic downturn in 2008, how out of that place, actually, many entrepreneurs were born, like innovative people who lost their jobs, especially young techies, you know, 20s and 30s, where they had to figure out something and new businesses sprung up out of that place. Speak to that whole dynamic.
Yeah, I've got a friend who's a chef, and when people come to him and have a lot of eating sensitivities, They can't have any gluten or can't have any dairy or both. What he always says is it doesn't bother him that the constraints force creativity.
Hmm.
And so trying to come up with something beautiful with less resources just means you have to rely that much more on your creativity. And so I think when we are comfortable, it's when we seem to – it's what we seem to think we want as Christians or those that walk by faith. But oftentimes it's in that comfort that we find ourselves really inactive, or that we're not even thinking in terms of Christian witness or what it might mean to serve others. But it's when that gets pressed and we're uncomfortable that we reach out to God, we pray a little bit more, we have to take some risks in faith, and we begin to realize that life is about more than just comfort. It's about relationships and love and those kinds of things. So, yeah, sometimes I think in that challenge, that's pruning, isn't it? I mean,
mm-hmm.
That's the biblical concept of pruning, is where the fruit of the Spirit really comes.
Got a young woman I've been mentoring. We really was intense for the first handful of years. Now we just sort of check in when she needs to. She lives in another state. But she has two biological children, and then she adopted a child from Guatemala and then went through a number of failed adoptions and was so heartbroken that she's like, "Where are you, God? And why? I'm sure you led me down this path." Well, he really led her to do foster care. And she started to engage in the foster system, and she would go to these county offices and see just the gray walls, the dingy toys. It was terrible. And she's thinking, some of these kids are removed from their homes in utter trauma, and this is where they come. And so she just asked if it would be okay if she got some friends to come to that office and paint the walls and maybe supply some new toys. And they're like, sure. So she did a little fat Facebook campaign. She got 100 people involved to come and paint these offices, bring new toys. Long story short, out of that birthed the ministry, a foster care ministry where there's all these branches. One of them is to minister to the parents of foster parents so they can have date night, then to make these journey bags or backpacks full of stuff for kids so when they're yanked out of their home, they've got a doll and a blanket and a snack and some toiletries. And then these offices, that they take care of these office workers where they bring in baskets of stuff and they revamp and remake their offices into a bright, beautiful place, all born out of heartbreak and then noticing in her heartbreak some needs. And this young woman, she's blowing me away. I mean, they've got a presence in multiple states around the country. But that is what's possible in the place of that discomfort, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think your story also illustrates another point really well, which is, the highest form of creativity isn't just about my experience or self-expression. The highest form of creativity is that creativity that joins God's creative energy in truly trying to reconcile all things back to himself. And so this whole idea of things needing reconciliation, needing to be fixed, needing to be brought back to a state of justice or the way they ought to be, really is when we're leveraging our creativity for the highest good. It's what I would call generous creativity. So it's just not about my emotions or my feelings or my experience, but I'm truly trying to take and move out into the world to make an impact, to make a difference for others. So it's more about sacrifice than it is about experience. And that's oftentimes how prayer starts. God, where are you in this? How come I can't get this adoption to come through? And it's really about the experience. And over enough time, as God leads you by faith and you begin to exercise that creativity, you wake up one day and say, wow, the Holy Spirit dreamed of something way bigger than I ever could have thought of. And over time, this is what's grown.
Amazing. Love this quote from your book. You said, "We breathe life into our families when we come up with creative ways of making memories. We breathe life into our industry when we come up with different ways of doing business. We breathe life into our churches when we discover new ways of expressing our 2,000-year-old beliefs and doctrines." I want you to talk about that. I mean, you just touched on that, but the whole idea of that kind of creativity, when we're seeing a need and we're tapping into the creative power of God and we become conduits of his kingdom come, you know, and his will be done, that it's life-giving, as you say, not just for us, but for those around us.
Yeah, so flourishing is such a beautiful word. It's spring now. Where I live in Bend, Oregon, the trees are just such a beautiful color of green. But new life, when something is being birthed, when it's being created, when it's coming alive, it's really that word flourish. And when communities are at their best, they flourish. When families are at their best, they flourish. When we're at our best in our relationship with God, the fruit of the Holy Spirit working through us, we're flourishing. We're finding our joy and our satisfaction in God, and it's just reinforcing itself. And so ultimately, if we're going to breathe life into things, if we're really going to truly live out that image of God in us, We're going to be agents of flourishing. We're going to go into areas that are either dark or they're dead or they're dying, and we're going to be an agent of life, of reconciliation, of love. And in doing that, we're going to bring things back to life or to a greater state of flourishing. And so that's not an abstract concept. It's not meant to be esoteric. It's simply this idea that when we're living out the stuff of God that's in us, the image of God that's in us, and we love and we live and we create, that things really will flourish around us. And it's a beautiful calling. It doesn't mean you have to be a pastor or a nonprofit worker. You can do it at your job when you're cutting hair. You can do it at your job as an engineer. The way you engage people around you, the way you see what it is you're doing, the way you treat the interruptions that come, all of these are opportunities to either turn it and bend it into a more broken world or to create ways of bending it into a more reconciled, more fully flourishing world. And so that's kind of that whole idea of, again, it's a creativity mindset. And creativity begets creativity. That's the crazy thing about it. The more creative you are, the more you find yourself being creative. The more you surround yourself with creative thinking, positive thinking, books, people in your church that are encouraging you, again, the more creative you are. So creativity begets creativity, which makes it a really fun thing.
Oh, indeed. And this, I'm sure, goes without saying, but I want to make the distinction just the same, just in case. But I want you to make the distinction between life and just sort of cutting-edge technology. Because, you know, some churches may have the latest and the greatest, but if the Spirit spoke to their church, like in Revelation, you might say, you have a reputation for being alive, but you're dead. So I want you to talk about the life that you're talking about obviously has more to do with this God-given, Spirit-directed insight and innovation and even mobility than it does with just keeping up with the digital age.
Yeah, and I think I would start with that distinction again between art and creativity. So most churches on Sunday mornings, we use artists and art as a way of engaging other people in their creativity. So on the stage, you have instruments, you have people that are gifted at singing, and so then the production comes around that to kind of wrap it up and make it work. And I like to talk about those artists as being the creative pastors for the rest of us. They're very gifted, they're very skilled, and they reach out and equip us, enable us to live more creatively. I like to get away from thinking that they're just performing for us. But so I think when we talk about creativity, when we blur that line between art and creativity, we think it's all those lights, that production, the fancy electric guitar that's on the stage. And what I want to usually say to people is that when you're on a beach at sunset, you've got one person that only knows guitar kind of good, and they lead you in a bunch of campfire songs, you find that it's the most worshipful experience you've ever had. And so the production isn't what we're talking about. It's that heart and beginning to realize that somehow in being creative, in meeting God in creation, we really find something special. Psalm 19 says that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. Night after night, they pour forth speech. They, you know, there's three or four different words again about the communication that happens from creation to us about the nature of God. So God's creativity and creation really speaks about his character. Our creativity and creative ability really, again, speaks to the part in us that reflects God, the image of God in us. So there's really something beautiful that happens when we come together and we're creative.
Let's talk for a moment again about the choice to copy or to create, because you talked about at the beginning of the show that copiers are followers because, they're following. They're waiting until they see something, and then they follow and they copy what's come down the pipe. But the fact is there are leaders who are copiers, and you see that because they're jumping on the different trends. We're going to do this. Sure. We're going to try this. We're going to try this initiative. What's the implication for those who are in their tribe that are following them if they are just looking where the winds are blowing and you know, they become maybe students of all the gurus and all the latest and greatest? What's the price that the person who's following them pays?
Well, the first thing I want to say is it's a matter of degrees, right? It's not 100% zero. We all borrow. We
yes.
all use best practices. We all learn from others. We learn from others' mistakes. You know, there's so much that we borrow from, and someone could say, hey, that's copy, and so your premise doesn't hold true. And what I want to simply say is, no, a copier mindset stops at only that. What I want to say is a mindset of faith, a creativity mindset, takes risks or finds ways to take the different experiences and to transform them into something new. So maybe the more helpful distinction here with a faith, you know, as a pastor writing to a faith group, is the difference between formula and faith. And
there
I find
you go.
That a lot in it's a lot in parenting. I often don't like parenting books because it's someone who had some success with children in their context. And it's usually writing out a formula. Here's what I did. Here's how you can do it the mm-hmm. way I did it. And every child is unique. Every context is unique. Every family culture is unique. And so somehow we can't be caught underneath this bar of formula. We have to sometimes be willing to jump above that bar and say, I'm going to strike out in faith on my own and see what I couldn't create in my own family culture or what the Holy Spirit might want to do with my kids. And then someday I can tell people what I did, but I'm always going to point them back to, here's what you can learn from me, but trust the Holy Spirit, be a creator, live by faith, don't just settle for formula. So maybe that helps people get the distinction a little bit more.
Taking our final break here, when we come back, we're going to talk more about what does that look like on a practical level for you. In fact, maybe you already know, how does God create through you, and how do people flourish because you walk with God, and you dare to lean in, you dare to sow some seeds? How do you create? Maybe you are an artist. Maybe you're a craftsman. Maybe you're a writer. Maybe you're just someone who's got that gift of servanthood where you just strengthen people because you're with them and you notice needs. I want to just know, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Back in a moment.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Hope you're having a great day today. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to pastor and author Ken Weitzma. Title of his book is Create versus Copy, Embrace Change, Ignite Creativity, Breakthrough with Imagination. Anything is possible, even in these turbulent times, because we serve a creator God who's always making things new, always doing new things in and through us. I've got a couple copies left of Ken's book. We've got a question from Farah. I think I'm saying your name right, from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. How are you?
I'm working with as a volunteer for a couple of charitable groups and community gardens and things that are working with many immigrant families. Mm-hmm. And there are so many activities that they want to do for summer activities and like vacation Bible school and family-related events like that. But they keep saying, well, we're so limited by budget. They keep wanting to order all these little packets of pre-punched stuff for art. I think we have so many free items here, so many pine cones, so many cartons, so many businesses that are discarding things that could be made into something. And I've made a couple samples, and they say, oh, but that is so much work. We grew up making things from scratch, and these people don't have discretionary funds. Should we be teaching them skills?
Okay. What do you say? Thanks for that question, for I appreciate it. What do you say, Ken?
Yeah, I think it's hard. One thing that's easy to do is to look into either someone else's life or a business and to see all of the creative things that could be being done that might make them more effective. And I love your idea there of trying to use what's around and to redeem it. I mean, that's reclamation art is that. It's how you can take and make beautiful things from what's at hand. I think the challenge is just that oftentimes I find that I do this or it's done to me, is we don't recognize how tired or fatigued people are that are serving in, say, a church or a nonprofit. and that they're just stumbling forward trying to maintain. And that oftentimes when we come in with our creativity, it's not received as creativity, it's received as a burden. You know, one more thing that I have to try and figure out, or that's the straw that's going to break the camel's back. And so I think when we go to bring creativity into someone else's family, business, organization, we have to be really creative in how we do it as well. Hey, here's a sample of this. I'd be willing to go and gather X, which you might have done in this case. Or, hey, if we wanted to go down this direction, I'd be willing to host a meeting to bring some people from the community in, some churches that would be able to put together creativity kits that come with a pine cone, with this, with that, already kind of packaged, and we'll bring those to you so that you can utilize them because, you know, we know that you're probably strapped or maybe you are. So I think that once we get creativity going, we see all these different places where it could be utilized. And then I think it just puts a burden on us that we have to bring that creativity to people and into places in a way that they can assimilate it. Otherwise, it just feels like something coming from the side, which it sounds like maybe happened in this case. But I love that kind of creativity and trying to do reclamation art.
Well, speaking of that, you think of the person listening today, Ken, who doesn't have the bandwidth for one more thing, but they feel completely underwhelmed, uninspired, underjoyed because they've been, running at a pace for so long. So they hear you and they want so much to just taste some of that in their own lives. But if it feels like another thing, what is a practical step that they can take just to feel like, I mean, I always say put your own oxygen mask on first. I mean, if you feel that way, get with God, let him breathe some life into your soul. But any other advice that you have for that person?
Yeah. And I've got several lists in the book. So the back half of the book, Create versus Copy, is very practical. The whole thing is very short. So it's the shortest book I've written. It's a little over 20,000 words. It's very easy to get through. But there's lists in the later chapters that some of them are scientific studies. Some of them are very practical things. But like you said, getting out in nature always removes you from the stress. Most stress isn't nature-related. It's people or systems or structures-related. Getting out into nature is away from it for a while and coming back at things fresh, having had a chance to kind of exercise some things out of you, get rid of some stress, usually always brings perspective and allows your creativity to flourish. Another way is getting more sleep. I know some people, you know, I like to stay up late because it's the only time I get to rest, and then you get in the syndrome of always being tired. But sleep is a big one for creativity. Reading a book on creativity, just so that you're getting an outside perspective that kind of helps your tumblers and your mind roll around, find solutions to the things that you're doing. Finding creative ways, if you're in an uninspiring job, start making really good lunches the night before to bring to work so that you have great cuisine for lunch that you've prepared and made with your own hands. Dress nicer and get creative about how you're going to present yourself at work just to feel good or fun, like you're able to express yourself that way. The music, listen to great quality music while you're in an uninspiring job. All of these things change up the systems or the patterns or the habits or the rhythms, get your brain firing in different ways and allow for some fresh perspective and for you to be able to move forward. So I think I've got lists in the book, also on my blog, and I think those are really helpful for people that are trying to move forward this way.
And those are the things we let go of. They just seem, you know, easy to do and easy not to. But by not doing those different things, it's amazing how quickly we lose perspective. I mean, those are the things that add color to your life, you know, to get up a little bit earlier and take the dog for a walk and watch the sun come up. I mean, create space, time and space to see creation and to see God move. Just fantastic. When you talk about the prospect of narrowing horizons and when things feel uncertain or in flux, that we tend to start to feel powerless and anxious. In fact, you're right, it's in the moment of anxiety or panic when the possibilities seem to have dried up and we feel hemmed in on all sides that there is the greatest possibility for making space for life. So that person who's just been kind of felt more paralyzed because the prospect of the narrowing horizon is more scary than anything, and yet you're saying this is the great, you know, this is a possibility. This is, you know, a soil that's rich with possibilities. Speak to that,
sure,
if you would.
Yeah, the last little bit we were sharing really was talking about the law of entropy, or we all know it intuitively. We might not know that it's called the second law of thermodynamics, but all things go from a greater state of energy to a lesser state of energy. Things decay, right? And so I think we as people can calcify too. If we're not moving, if we're not changing, if nothing's fresh, if there's no creativity, we slowly kind of just fade downward. And oftentimes when we're in that spot and things around us just seem to be narrowing in or hemming us in, I like to talk about the original Star Wars when they're getting, you know, pressed in on the trash compactor and it's narrowing in on them. It feels like impending death or impending doom. It forces us to do something, to either get creative, to trust God, to take a step of faith, to look at our situation differently. Whatever it does, it forces us to abandon the status quo, if you will. And Jesus says, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it can't bring forth life. And so sometimes we have to be forced out of our seed. Sometimes that has to be crushed. Sometimes it has to, you know, fall to the ground and get trampled on, so that God can bring something new in our life. And I think often our avoidance of pain wants us to keep pushing that off, keep pushing it down the road, kick the can down the road, so that we don't have to deal with what might be our fear or disappointment that might be coming. But oftentimes those crucible moments where we really meet God and we deal with the challenges, when we look at the pruning, we're not going to run from it, that there's such a beautiful opportunity that God can now breathe fresh life into us, or into our life, and begin to take us in a different direction that we wouldn't have been able to go otherwise. Hmm. So turning diminishing horizons into expanding horizons by utilizing creativity, or basically being willing to walk by faith.
So good. We just have a moment here before we pray, but as you're talking, thinking about a pastor friend who had this this analogy where he'd have a circle of the known zone or the comfort zone, and we know our way around there, but then he'd draw a circle around that and call it the learning zone, and you step out of that place, suddenly you're kind of a small deal because you're not the queen or the king of your comfort zone. But the only way for the known zone to grow is to be willing to be a small deal in a bigger space, you know? And I think that's really the case here as well. If you want to go back to school, if you want to start to learn to paint, if you want to serve, you know, at a homeless shelter, you got to be willing to go someplace where you feel like you're out of your zone, but that God is with you there. And that's when I think what we know, we thought we know, just grows exponentially. Such an interesting conversation, Ken. Would you pray for that person listening today who's got the innovation fatigue and just it's been a long time since they've seen the sun break through the clouds?
Yeah, Father, we would just pray that those of us that don't feel like we can go on or feel like the stress is just mounting or we're being ground down, endurance seems like a bad joke. Perseverance isn't the word we want to hear. We're weary. I just pray that you would show us once again that you are the creator, that the yoke of Christ is a light, is an easy yoke, that you yearn for us to come to you to learn your unforced rhythms of grace, and that we would be able to look at life with fresh eyes anew, that we'd be able to walk by faith. So I just pray for us all that we might trust you more. We pray that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Ken, thank you for this conversation. It's been just excellent.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Title of the book again is Create versus Copy. The author, Ken Weitzma. How do I say? Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. You can find a podcast of this program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Be sure to share this conversation with a friend who will be strengthened by it today. You can do that by clicking the share button under the audio link. Take some time to browse our website as well for new articles and content about growing in your faith in Jesus Christ. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.